Joe Bob Briggs here. I would say the most brutal kill that I can remember is in the original I Spit on Your Grave. Camille Keaton is repeatedly gang raped, and then she has to get her revenge on the four guys who did it. And one, she kills them one by one in increasingly brutal ways. And then the last one is the ringleader of the rapist, Johnny, the ex-Marine gone bad. And she lures him into the bathtub as though she's really turned on by him. And remarkably, he falls for that. And once they're in the bathtub, she starts to massage him between the legs. What he doesn't know as he closes his eyes and relaxes into the experience is that she's taking an extremely large knife that she's hidden near the tub, and she uses it to remove his penis. And he doesn't realize immediately that his penis has been removed because of the warm water. And he slowly realizes what's happened to him, and it becomes more and more horrifying as the entire bathtub turns red. That's one of the most, especially if you're a male watching that scene, you don't ever forget that scene. That actor, his name was Aaron Tabor. That wasn't his real name because he was a famous acting teacher and he didn't want to use his real name. I don't remember his real name, but I remember that scene as a memorable kill. You kind of never forget it.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and the only place to hear the patented Duff McKagan joke of the week.
It's Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Listen, man, I once swallowed an abacus. I must have looked really stupid, but it's what... Oh, shit. Let me call you back. Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Listen, one time I swallowed an abacus. I probably look really stupid, but it's what's on the
inside.
That counts. Thank you. Bye.
All right, so it's an annual holiday tradition here on Talk is Jericho to have Darcy, the male girl from the last drive-in. And last year's show was a huge hit, Darcy. Did you expect that?
No, I had no idea. That's amazing. Thanks for having me back.
That's why. I mean, Darcy equals ratings. So and actually, we were talking about this, trying to figure out some kind of a Halloween show. And Stacy, our producer, came up with a really cool idea of talking about the most gruesome deaths in horror movie history. Originally, we were going to do top 10, but I don't think we really have to have a certain amount. We'll just keep talking about them until we run out or whatever. But before we get started, what's going on with Last Drive-In? Huge success last season, went through the roof, and you are currently recording some stuff now. And obviously, this show will air before yours comes out. I don't know what you can and can't say, but is there going to be more Last Drive-Ins in the future? And kind of what topics and ideas do you have to continue the show?
Oh, definitely. This week we have the Walking Dead special coming up, which is kind of a big deal because it's the first time we combine with AMC, not just Shudder. So
big time.
Yay.
AMC owns Shudder pretty much. That's what the connection is, right?
Yeah, but they're like the big boys. So
we get, gotcha.
We get to play with the big kids for once. And then also we have some more specials that they told me not to say much about. So we have that and season 4. So. And so hopefully I'll be back to watch something like Things again, because that was fun.
You better watch your mouth. I'll hang up on you right now.
I had to grade 2,000 papers about how horrible it is.
I can't believe you actually read them all. So this is you had 2,000 people writing letters about Things.
Writing essays, like detailing it, what each scene play-by-play meant for the whole night. We showed Things and Sledgehammer. And let me say, they gave you a lot of props for helping them get through it. over and over again. I was like, Chris Jericho saves the day again.
For those who haven't seen it, Things is by far the worst movie of all time. And not just worse in that there's plot holes or bad effects. It just sucks. And Darcy had the audacity to ask me to appear on the episode. And I did that because I'm a friend of the show. But oh my gosh, it's torture to watch that damn thing.
Oh my God. I super appreciate it. There's no way we could have gotten through it without you. I'm not kidding. Like, you had me dying.
It was quite the
You helped me. Thank you.
Quite the episode for sure. But we are not going to be including any classic deaths from Things because there aren't any. But we decided to pick some of the most gruesome or some of those classic kind of deaths in horror movie history. And Darcy, with her huge collection of Rolodex phone numbers of different people in the business, has contacted quite a few horror movie icons, and they will be sprinkled throughout this show. But for the most part, just like last year, we did the top 10 horror movies of your opinions and of mine. We're going to do the top gruesome deaths in horror movie history. So I guess we'll say what happened and say the movie and kind of go into some detail if it's applicable. So since you are the guest, I'll let you go first here on this Halloween week special.
Ooh, so spooky. Okay. I didn't really fully get the criteria that we're judging everything on. So I kind of am going with more ones that are meaningful to me than are just gruesome.
Yeah, that's there is no criteria. It's our show. We make it up. So exactly. So we're in charge.
Okay, let's see. I also just wrote down so many. There's so many. Like, how do we narrow it down? It's so hard. So I'm just going to go with a basic straight one to start is Tatum from Scream.
And what happens to Tatum from Scream?
She tries to get out the doggy door, and you see graphically her head just like smash. And when I first saw that, I could not believe it. I could not watch that part. So it just still sticks with me to this day. There's definitely gorier head smashing scenes, but you feel so bad for Tatum. She was so close to getting out that it's traumatizing.
Is that Drew Barrymore?
No, Drew Barrymore was Casey. She got killed in the beginning, which is also very gruesome, but I just think Tatum. So Tatum is, Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan, right.
Yeah. So she was the best friend. She was trying to escape. She did not.
So she's trying to escape from the killer in the house, and she goes at the doggy door, mm-hmm. and then the killer stops. How does he smash her head?
Yeah. Well, the doggy door, he lifts it slowly. Do you remember this? You don't remember?
I don't remember, but we have to explain it as if people who haven't seen it. I've only seen Scream once. I know you're a Scream aficionado.
Oh, my God. You have to see it 8 more times at least.
So yeah. he slams the doggy door on her head?
Yeah, so she's like crawling out the doggy door, and you think like she's almost there and almost out, but he pushes the door, and it opens. So like she's like fighting, trying to get out as the door is rising, and then it doesn't stop, and it just like as if they're taking the garage door up, like and her head gets stuck.
I remember that. The doggy door and the garage door. Yeah, it comes up. Yes, I remember that.
It's so like, and you see her face go, and then smash, and it's heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, I was thinking she was just crawling out like the kitchen door or something. Yeah, you're right. It's the garage door. That was a great death for sure. Cool. Well, I will join in.
All right. With mine.
I am going to go with the very first alien.
Good
and it's the very first that I can recall ever chest bursting scene. And of course, this is when they're in the Nostromo and we've seen the face hugger on the, I think it was John Hurt's face. And then suddenly the face hugger comes off and he's feeling good until they all sit down to dinner where then he starts kind of burping and feeling strange. Then he falls on the floor screaming in pain as the alien proceeds to burst through his chest, which is the first one of those ever in Alien, I think. And back like in 1978, nobody had ever seen that before. So that's what I love about some of these movies from the 70s and 60s even. These deaths, like you mentioned, are the most memorable. And they still haven't been beat to this day.
The reason that one to me isn't included is because although it's an amazing scene and so classic, I saw the Spaceballs parody of it first, where they like come out and like are singing, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling." And so it kind of takes like, I expect the alien one to do that too. So it makes it a little less scary, but I can see it. If you hadn't seen that first, it's probably really terrifying.
I love the fact that you saw the Spaceballs version first.
Which is so good. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Did you see Spaceballs before you saw Return of the Jedi?
I did. I saw Spaceballs before I saw a lot of that. And then I had to go back and be like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Probably killed some of the horror and evilness of Jabba the Hutt as well when you saw Pizza
Hut. Oh, for sure. Oh, my God. Yes, exactly. Although Pizza the Hutt was a little scary himself. he was really creepy.
Himself and everything. Yeah.
Yes, it's so gross.
All right, what's your next one?
Okay, so this one is like a combo of two because I can't decide which one's better. In Terrifier, which I know you love a lot too, they have an amazing scene where they like saw this chick. She's upside down. They saw her in half, like completely graphically. She's naked. It's amazing. But there's also a really similar scene in Bone Tomahawk, which might be a little more gory, actually, because they like scalp him, feed his scalp to him, and then rip him apart. And so they're both great ripping apart scenes. So I'm going to make that a joint, number 9 or whatever we're doing.
They feed his scalp to him?
Yes! How gnarly is that? That's and they like terrible. Break his teeth to like make it like fit in completely.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
I had heard that there was a similar scene in Bone Tomahawk to Terrifier, but I did not realize that they actually fed him his own scalp. That is totally disgusting.
Right. So Terrifier is great, but that's great. So let's just put them together and say, yay, ripping in half is always good.
Well, and I have the Terrifier death on that. I don't know what her name was, but Catherine Corcoran is the actress. Really cool, very pretty actress. And as she's upside down, it's really disturbing because she's, like you said, completely naked. And she told me when she was filming that they had to only film that in like 1 or 2 minute increments because obviously the blood rushes down to your head and can really affect you for real in real life. So they had to be very careful with filming that scene because of the physical damage it could do to her. So
I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. Right. She's a trooper.
Yeah, she said it was really cold as well. So,
thanks to her. Props to her.
Yes. So another one for me that's in that area is Hostel, the original Hostel, where the one cat, I don't even know his name, he was in Dumb and Dumberer. And this is where the whole movie changes. It's all kind of a teenage sex comedy up until that point. And then he passes out when the chicks, you know, drug his drink, and he wakes up chained to a chair. And I think the dentist is just, or the guy's just drilling holes into him.
Oh, yeah.
And then says he can leave if he just can get up and walk.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
What the guy doesn't know is that both of his Achilles tendons.
What? I don't even think about it.
when he starts to get up, you just see this, these.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so gross. It's so gross. It's so gross.
Hey, Darcy. Hey, Chris. It's Alex Vincent, Andy Barkley from the Chucky Films. I've been asked by Darcy what my favorite kill in horror films is. Well, I'm going to have to stay true to my own franchise here because I have to say Child's Play 2, Chucky hiding in the closet, plunging into the heart of my teacher and then beating her to death with a ruler always kind of struck me as rather important and awesome. Maybe it's because I didn't like school so much growing up, but that death, the screams of the teacher, the distant shot of the hammer coming down, so to speak, in that ruler, and yeah, just that shot of air right into her heart. Yeah, that whole scene really did it for me. So I'm going to have to go with that. Thank you, guys.
You can also throw Original Pet Cemetery.
That was on my list.
Is the Herman Munster.
Yes.
And also Evil Dead as well, when the demon sticks the pencil into the back of the
floor. Why is that so hard to watch? Like, you even just describing it is just giving me pain.
I think, like, you know, no one knows what it's like to be beheaded, because if you are, you would be dead. But those types of things, you could just envision like how much that would hurt, because we've all, you know, whacked our back of our heels or something along those lines, to where you just realize just how much pain that would be.
That actually makes so much sense. That explains it. Good job, Professor.
Thank you. All right. Thank
Professor
you.
Chris.
What's next for you, Madame?
Okay, let's see. How about Frank in Hellraiser with the Jesus wept, where he gets ripped apart and he just looks at the camera all evil and Jesus wept, and then everywhere.
How does he get ripped apart? Like, I remember
there's like all these hooks on him.
That's right.
Right. It's so gnarly. And I was like raised in like a religious family. And so the Jesus wept thing just seems so, I swear, I thought God was going to hate me for liking this movie. It was like, we're taking the Lord's name in vain and mocking it with this debauchery. And I don't know. So it extra traumatized me.
This is completely off topic, but I'm going to ask this knowing that the answer is no.
Okay.
Have you seen Dancing with the Stars this season?
That's a no.
So my friend, The Miz from WWE, is on the show. And they had a Halloween episode. He did this amazing dance dressed as the Hellraiser.
Oh, no way. I got to look at that. That's
it's
cool.
Worth checking out just for that alone. But
I will watch just that.
Just that. Yeah, that's the same. I just watched that too. I'm not a big avid Dancing with the Stars guys, but that was pretty cool.
Wait, you were on it though, right?
I was. And I haven't watched a single episode since. Okay, next one for me is a classic, one of the classics. I'm going to say what movie it is, and you have to tell me what death it is. I know you're going to get it right away.
Okay.
Lucio Fulci's Gates Song of Hell.
Shark. Oh,
well, Gates of Hell. Close. Gates of Hell.
Oh, I don't know, man. There's so many. He's so good.
This is when the demon priest looks at the chick, and she basically pukes up her entire innards.
That one's on my list, man. That's such a good one. Yes, I should have known, like, honestly. Because that's literally on my list. I put gut puking scene.
If you haven't seen this, the actress who pukes up her innards literally starts with some blood, and then it gets kind of like, I don't know, tomato soupy, and then it gets like red
like
and porridge.
Foamy and stuff.
That's right. And then she literally starts like spitting out giant like livers that they obviously must have got from a butcher shop or something.
Yes, it looks so gross.
And they keep flashing back to the weird priest just giving her the evil eyes. And, the,
yes.
And her date is just sitting there like, sucks to be you, babe.
But then doesn't he get his like brain ripped out right afterwards or something?
Yeah, something like that happens. But I don't even remember because I was just so.
Sucks to be him too.
Oh, he was on there as well?
Well, I mean, it sucks to be him if he's getting his brain ripped
out. Exactly, yeah. I was just so obsessed with that.
It's really good. I should have known right away. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Just puking like that giant liver. It's like, ugh. Just be like, I did a commercial once for Chef Boyardee where we actually were in the Bahamas.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And part of it was that you have to take a bite and go, you know, this is beef ravioli or whatever the hell it was. This is great. Thing is, when you're on set, and they don't warm it up, so it's just cold. So cold beef ravioli is terrible. I'm assuming it's still better than having a giant liver stuffed in your mouth that you have to slowly barf out in the middle of the
probably. And I have to find that commercial. That's amazing.
It's on YouTube. I'll find
Yay.
It. All right, what you got next?
Okay, let's go with Philip in Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors, who is the marionette guy.
Oh my gosh, that's on mine too. Tell the story.
No,
it is.
Similar it is. So that is another one that I think, like, because you can kind of feel the vein thing. Like, to me, that just always, that is hard to watch now. I feel it
yes.
as walking, and it's just so icky and gross. So I there's a lot that could have been picked in Nightmare on Elm Street. I actually think Tina's death from part one is probably the scariest death to me in like all of movies. But for pure, just hard to watch, gruesome, it's the puppet death for me.
It's so gross too, like you said, because you can actually feel like the veins in his tendons yeah. are like the strings of the marionette.
Oh, who thought of that? What is wrong with you?
It's absolutely terrible. It's very disgusting. And speaking of the tendons from his arms, Darcy, We have a great message from one of our sponsors, Arm & Hammer, that we're going to listen to right now.
That was a great segue.
Thanks to Arm & Hammer here on the Halloween special, the most gruesome deaths in horror movie history. This is from Night of the Demon, not demons, demon. And what exactly was the demon?
Bigfoot thing?
What's
the
that?
The Bigfoot guy?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Of course. It's great. But go ahead. Tell people that haven't.
By the way, I digress in even asking you if you've seen it, because you've seen, as we discussed last year, you've seen even more horror movies than I have, which is a very rare thing. But so Night of the Demon is about a Bigfoot, a murderous Bigfoot. And his costume is atrocious. It basically looks like a giant fur bathroom mat that they've made into a Bigfoot costume.
It does, actually.
It's terrible. So there's two in this that really get me. One is this biker pulls off on the side of the road and goes to take a leak in the bushes. And as he does that, the Sasquatch reaches through the bushes and basically rips his cock off.
That's a good one. That is not on my list, and I'm ashamed that I didn't think of it.
But the worst part is when it's not like you like have to imagine it. They literally pull this guy's cock off. And I remember, like, I've only seen this once, by the way. I remember there was gristle hanging out. Like, whoever did the makeup on this was just amazing, because you're like, oh my God, there's gristle there. Like, ah.
You gotta have gristle, man. It wouldn't have been believable.
If you're gonna rip a wiener off, you gotta have gristle. And then the other one is there's two Girl Scouts that are picking berries. Remember this one?
Yes.
You wanted to take
this one? No, over? Go ahead. You're doing good.
So they're picking berries from what I recall. Like I said, I've only seen it once. You've probably seen it a dozen times. They're picking berries, and then the Sasquatch finds them. And I think does he not have knives in their hands? And he takes each girl's knife and makes them stab the other girl.
Yes. It's so good. Yes. 4-star movie. Check it out for sure. It's so good. It's such a great scene. People that watch it for the first time are just like, what the hell is happening? And rightly so. It's insane.
You must get this all the time on Last Drive. And you guys need to show this movie. You guys need to show that movie. Yes, Night of the Demon seems like it'd be pretty cheap to pick up.
Honestly, I am so looking into that, because that is one that more people need to know about. I'm sure that needs to be one that it's like a things night. I'm going to have to read essays about it.
This one's a little bit better. But the worst part is, like, it's just, you know, it's terrible acting. And these two like girls are like, this is terrible. Not things level bad, but it was still pretty bad.
Oh, it's so good, though, in a terrible way.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. All right. What you got?
Okay. I couldn't decide between my favorite wood chipper scene. So maybe you can decide. So there's Tucker and Dale, which gets points deducted because it is a comedy, but it's also such a funny comedy that I almost forgive it. And there's this. Have you seen Tucker and Dale?
I haven't.
Oh gosh. Even though you hate horror comedy, I think you're going to love it. How to explain it? It's basically, it's so funny. The city folk or whatever, they're just trying to kill Tucker and Dale and failing miserably and killing themselves in this like most innocent looking ways. And so one of them is like coming at Tucker or Dale, I can't remember. And is trying to stab him, but he moves slightly. And so he throws himself into the wood chipper, and they're trying to pull him out. And they're like, dude, are you okay? As his body's like being ripped apart and his shit's flying everywhere. So it's graphic. Like, you get tons of blood and everything, but also it's just so hilarious at the same time. It's such a great scene. But if you want just pure gore, there's a Silent Night, Deadly Night remake, just Silent Night, where the like porn chick, she gets put in a wood chipper and she's all naked the whole time and screaming. And so like you feel her pain more, like it's so vulnerable. And it's just like he's shredding her naked body. Well, I think she has like underwear on, but mostly naked. But anyway, it's just, you feel how scared she is. And that too, you still get the equal amount of blood everywhere and stuff. So which is better? Hard to say. So let's just make them both together again.
So what year was the remake for Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Yeah, it's not that.
Is that fairly recent?
Gosh, 2000. I want to say 12. It might be later than that. I have to look it up. But gotcha. So it's they didn't really publicize it to remake that much. You had to kind of figure it out. It's called Silent Night. So if you look into it, but it's just, it doesn't feel like the, it's very different than the original.
It's hard to beat that one. You have to plus for the time.
The original is just the best ever. So good.
And then of course the other woodchipper scene runner up. It's not really gory, but it's a great kind of plot denouement is in Fargo.
For sure.
When Steve Buscemi, spoiler alert, ends up going into the woodchipper and they come, Marge Lundergaard finds him just as he's sticking the last bit of his foot in there.
Oh yeah. I remember that freaking me out too, but it's not really horror. So
it's not, but it's just cool. You see his foot and he's pushing like with the block of his foot going in there and it's just shooting out red. So
it's true. Oh, so good.
Good woodchipper. That's the woodchipper segment.
I love a good woodchipper scene.
So I'm going to go for another one. It's one of the classic death scenes, multiple. If you haven't seen this one, it's a little bit lesser known, but if you know, you know. It's called The Burning. And The Burning is kind of a, I think when Friday the 13th came out, there was a whole bunch of kind of Friday the 13th ripoffs and clones and that sort of thing. So The Burning is when they pull up on the canoe and these guys are canoeing with like, they've lost their paddles and they're canoeing with like branches and stuff. And they're canoeing to like, I think it was another canoe or maybe it was a float or something. And just as they get there, out comes the evil killer who kills everybody with hedge clippers. And he kills one, he kills the other, he kills another. He's just like murdering the other, screaming. It's pretty like graphic, like kind of scary. But then the one guy holds up his hand and the killer chopped off all his fingers. And they've got this great effect of like this kind of plasticky looking hand with no fingers. But it's spewing out the blood. And it's really, really well done, especially when you see it. If you're like, you know, I probably saw when I was 15 years old. And you, like you said earlier, Darcy, it really kind of just, you don't forget scenes like that. So that was a pretty good scene. And the movie's not bad, but that's probably the highlight of it.
That was a really good scene. And I actually love that movie. That's another one that I've been trying to get on the show. That seems like we should be able to. So hopefully we can.
Well, let me ask you a question from the Last Drive-In standpoint. What is it that stops movies from being on? Is it hard to find who owns the rights, or they ask too much money, or what's kind of the
combo of all of it? It's like, who owns the rights? Will they give us the rights? Do we have enough money? But the weirdest one is a lot of places, they'll say, sure, you can use it, but you can't interrupt the movie.
Really?
That's what we do. So it's like, well, that doesn't do any good. But some of the bigger companies, like, I guess I probably shouldn't say who, but they have titles that I would kill to show, but they are like, you can't interrupt it.
And that's the whole point of the whole show.
Yes. It's written that way so that people don't put commercials in it. But we're trying to convince people we're not commercials, even though it's technically interrupting it still. So hopefully people will start to see that and be kind and let us interrupt their movies.
If anybody's listening that's out there that owns movies, that's the best part of what I like about Last Drive-In is that it's about you know, the movie's great, but I like hearing Joe Bob's analysis and the wraparounds and the cosplay that you do and all this sort of stuff. But anyways, that's part of the magic of the show.
All right.
I think you're next. What do you got?
Am I? Oh, yeah. You did Cropsey.
What's that name? Cropsey?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That fits into the big legend of Cropsey from upstate New York as well.
I bet it's the same, right?
I guess maybe. Yeah, I guess so. It's probably filmed in New York. So.
Yeah. Cool. We learn things. Okay. Here's another one where I could pick any kill from this movie and it'd be right. Or actually from this whole entire series and it'd be right. So it's the Hatchet series. And after a lot of deliberation, the one I came up with that is my favorite is like the head rip open thing from the first one, which is just magnificent. And this minute I saw it, I was like, well, I am sold. This is going to be like, I'm all in on this movie and I will always follow Hatchet. Hatchet 2, I'm in. Hatchet 3, I'm in, because just the effects on this are so great. But then we get to Victor Crowley, which has the second best death in the whole series, I think. And it's really unique. So does he get the points for unique? Because he rips off Felissa Rose, actually, who was kind enough to give us her
She did, yeah.
She gets her arm ripped off while she's talking on her cell phone, and Victor Crowley shoves her whole arm up her vagina or whatever you can say on here. And like it sticks all the way out her mouth, and the cell phone's like, I think it's ringing as it's sticking out of her mouth. Like, it's just bravo. That was so good.
Hey, this is Felicia Rose, and I think it's really difficult to choose my favorite kill, but definitely one of the greatest death scenes is in the original Hatchet. I'm absolutely obsessed with not only the creativity, but the effect itself, the practical effects, where Victor Crowley comes over and does the face rip off. Oh my God, it gets me every time. He sticks his hand in her face and rips the head back and around. It looks so gruesome and so fantastic. It's definitely one of my favorites.
You know, I was not, and actually, I am on the same wavelength as you. I love all the Hatchet movies. Crowley, I did not like as much, but when I watched it again on Last Drive-In, I liked it better. It was better watching it with you guys involved, because I thought they finally jumped the shark on this. But there's actually a really kind of sad death on that one, when the one girl, you know, which I'm talking, she gets stuck.
Pregnant lady.
Yeah, of course she finally
gets pregnant. Yeah, I know. It's like, why are you trying so hard to hurt us, Adam Green? Or
and the water rises and she's stuck under the chair.
Yes, and that's my friend. That's Tiffany Shepis, who's been in 1,000 amazing movies that we should show. And I'm just like, why?
You feel sad for her.
Yes, exactly. She's so good at selling it. She's like, my baby.
The one that I like from Hatchet, I think it's in 2. It might be actually when I think it's when the voodoo doctor, who's Tony Todd, who may or may not be on this show, depending if he found in his
I hope we get it in time.
Be in time. But doesn't Crowley like pull off his head and just pull his whole skeleton out of the
Oh, God. There's just, honestly, like I said, any kill in that entire series is just like, great. I believe you. That's the one. So
I will say that if you guys haven't seen Hatchet, because I took the longest time to not watch it, because I was like, I've seen enough of these types of movies, whatever. But that one has some of the most inventive kills in it.
Okay.
Really, really cool stuff. So speaking of inventive kills, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about, Sleepaway Camp 2, one of my all-time favorite deaths. But here's the thing that I say I love about it. Does that make us psycho or whatever?
No way.
So
we're mutants and proud.
And this is one of the really, like, there's a lot of hot girls in Sleepaway Camp 2. There's even more in Sleepaway Camp 3, but it's a shitty movie. Sleepaway Camp 2, the hottest chick that she shows her tits, and like she's kind of the bad girl. So she meets I'm thinking her name is not Pamela, what's her name? Angela. Pamela's her real name. Pamela Springsteen, of course, is Bruce Springsteen's sister. She meets her at a cabin, a remote cabin, and then she tries to get away from Angela. Angela just stabs her in the back. It's like, that's pretty vicious, just stabbing her in the back over and over again. And she runs away, tries to hide in the outhouse, but Angela basically drags in the house. She shoves her entire body into the outhouse. And
it's so gross, honestly.
They've got this overblown sound effects of fly.
Yeah.
And then here's my favorite part. So she's already been stabbed in the back, which to me is just a horrible feeling.
You feel that.
Right? Then you're thrown into the outhouse. And then Angela's got a stick, like a giant stick, like a branch, that she's pushing this poor girl down into the outhouse. And I'm like, just stay down in the outhouse. Like, what's she going to do? She can't reach you all the way down there. Like, what the hell? But here's the best part. And Darcy, see if you can finish the sentence. She comes up out of the outhouse, and she's covered in what?
Leeches.
Of course, leeches live in human waste.
Don't they? I assume that's true. I don't know.
They must. I love that death. And I've showed that movie to so many people that have never seen it, but my daughter's niece, all horror movie friends, they all love that scene because it's so preposterous. But on the small chance that it could actually happen, it's absolutely terrible.
So good. And I love that movie so much. I know that you and I were meant to be homies the minute I heard you say that was one of your favorite movies. I was like, my brother.
Yeah, and this is not like where you said it first. I've been in love with this movie basically since it came out in 1987, 88, whatever it was. So, and I, like, listen, once again, call me crazy. I'll take two over one any day of the week. I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah. So good. It's one of my favorite of all time. I love it. So
Me too. You have to watch it. Once that's another one. You should get that one. I love driving.
Oh, God. I am trying so hard. That's been in my top five since we started.
Who the hell is going to own that that's not going to want to get it shown? I mean, come on.
They did. They had some kind of hangup. I can't remember what it was.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, there's another problem we have sometimes, and I think that's what this one was, is we can only get it for a limited amount of time.
Oh, I see.
A longer period.
So I feel Springsteen's involved in this somehow.
Damn you, Springsteen.
Yeah, not Pamela, Bruce. Bruce is involved in this, that son of a bitch. All right, what do you got next?
Oh, Lordy. Getting down to the nitty gritty here, because I only put 10. Oh, Jason X. Let's do that.
Okay.
Because there's so many Friday the 13th, so I was having trouble picking, like, what is my absolute. Well, my absolute favorite is actually Andy in Part 3, because I guess I have a thing for people getting chopped in half, because that one stuck out to me.
What happens to her?
Well, it's the dude, and he's walking on his hands.
Oh, jeez.
Remember? And Jason comes and just slices him right in the middle, and it's like, ugh.
He cuts him right down the middle, like just right. Like the bone tomahawk, right?
Right. Apparently, I have a fetish for that, I guess, because I keep coming back to that. But I think that the most brutal kill, maybe, is when he, in Jason X, when they use, what is it, nitrous oxide or whatever makes ice, and, like, freezes her face, like, immediately, and then poof, right into the, like, counter or whatever, and her face just splatters because it's frozen. It's just so good.
If you haven't seen Envision Terminator 2, when he freezes the Terminator,
yes,
and then, like, you drop, like, a piece of ice on the ground, it's just going to shatter, and that's what happens to this girl's head.
So good, so good. But there's the sleeping bag kill that's classic. Ugh, I don't know. What's your favorite Friday the 13th kill?
Well, it's funny because, once again, you could go through, like, Friday gets hokey at times, but there are some amazing, amazing. And the one that I have written down, and you're going to know this more than I do, I believe it's 5. It might be 4. I think it's – what's the one with the paintball guys? Is that 5?
That is 6.
6. Is it 6?
It is 6.
Really? Wow. Okay.
You're making me confused. I'm pretty sure.
I'm thinking it's 5, but you obviously know better than me. But the thing is, so there's
5 is the one that has Roy. So was it Jason in your movie? And Paintball Guys in 6.
Okay. I'll say the death, and you tell me which one it was. Okay. So once again, it was the hottest girl in the movie, and she's had sex out in the forest, of course, as they do every movie. And the guy leaves, and she's just lying, big boobs, and they're like, she's lying down. So
that's,
like,
Deborah Foreman in Part 5, but I don't think the paintball guys are in that.
Okay, so I'm getting mixed up. But Point being, going back to Cropsey, callback.
I mean, Deborah Voorhees, sorry.
Yeah, Jason comes down and sticks the freaking hedge clippers into both of her eyes, and then he shuts them, and you hear this, like, crunch. Like, basically, he cuts her face in half via the eyes through the nose bone.
So good. And she does have the, like, best boobs in the world. So
she's super hot. So, like, it makes it even
adds
worse
to the scene. And her last name is actually Voorhees, so it's like Destiny.
What's the chances of that?
I know. She had to be in it. And I mean, have, like, one of the coolest names ever.
The only other Voorhees I've ever known is Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell.
Oh yeah. Wow. How did I must have thought of that at some point.
Another great kill is number 2, the dude in the wheelchair raining, and he gets the classic cleaver right in the middle of his head, and they just push him down the wheelchair. He's like,
that one just makes me so sad for him, though. Like,
I know, it's terrible.
I can't delight in the goriness, because it's just like, why?
No, you feel bad for him. Like, he, you know, not because he's in the wheelchair, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, he picks up the chick or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was getting it.
He was getting it, and then this happens. It's just terrible, terrible, terrible. And a good Friday 13th kills or something. All right, I'll start. So, I can't remember what the kid's name is. He's the black kid. His name is Shavar Ross. He played Dudley on Different Strokes.
Oh, Reggie the Reckless.
Reggie the Reckless. That's right. And he's got, and we never know what happened to Reggie the Reckless, by the way, because I watched it with my daughters last year. And we get, you never know what his fate is. So maybe if they do a Friday the 13th part 13, Reggie the Reckless can be the one who finally ends up getting rid of this whole.
I would freaking love that. We need to find out what happens to
him. That'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. So anyway, so he's got this cool older brother, and the older brother has a girlfriend that kind of looks like the chick from the Thriller video, kind of, you know, and so they're hanging out or whatever, and they're in an outhouse. I think it's Reggie might be in an outhouse, and so they're singing to each other. Ooh, baby, ooh, baby.
It's then, so sweet. You feel so bad for them.
And then you hear like a chop, and he's like, what? And then these, Jason starts sticking a spear through the tin outhouse, and he's trying to avoid the spear, and then finally he gets it. But it was a good one.
Those damn enchiladas.
Overselling it too, like he's got stomach pains. These enchiladas, I gotta go.
Okay, it's so good. Five gets a lot of hate because it's not Jason, but if you know that going in, it's a really good movie. It's kind of like Halloween 3 that way, where a lot of people were mad that Michael isn't in it, but if you knew that going in, then it's still a good movie. You know,
you kind of got to relax a bit because it is a good movie. I mean, I really like that one, to be honest with you.
It's really fun.
All right. So what else you got? Get any others?
Well, the biggest one that I think actually holds the record for the most blood ever used on film. I have to look that up somewhere. But Dead Alive, the lawnmower scene.
Wow. Now, so Dead Alive was the first movie that Peter Jackson.
Yeah. Do you have this on your list too?
No, I don't. But
oh, man.
Explain what happens.
Whew, it's like 5 straight minutes of just a lawnmower, just body parts everywhere and blood everywhere. And they blender the body parts and they like swing them around by their spines, and it's like it's just chaos and just blood and just beautiful zombie gore. For it's just, it's awesome. It's, yeah,
it's almost verging on a horror comedy in a lot of ways.
It is, but it's still so good. Sometimes it's just so right that you have to just respect it.
Yeah, it kind of has a little bit of a Frankenhooker to me vibe. Yes. I'll put up with the ridiculousness because the payoff is so good, shall we say.
Hi, it's Linnea, Scream Queen extraordinaire. Now, I think one of my favorite kill scenes is in Texas Chainsaw Massacre when he puts her on the meat hook. I know you don't see it, but it's really, really gross. But my scene in Silent Night, Deadly Night is way up there. How many people get impaled on antlers of a reindeer? Not many. Very gross.
All right. Lots of gory deaths here. I'll take it off. I'll continue. One of my favorite, I think last year I might have voted it number one on our list of the top 10 horror movies of all time. I was talking about The Thing. Mm-hmm. And my favorite death, I mean, it's a great sequence, but basically the guy is on the table and they're trying to give him the heart cardiac arrest paddles, I guess you'd say. And he hits the paddles once. He hits the paddles again. The guy's entire abdomen opens up with teeth and then closes and basically bites the guy's, both of his hands straight off.
So good. And I think you voted number one. So I know you really like that one.
Such a surprise too. Like you never saw that coming. That's when the movie just gets completely insane all across the board. So, Darcy, do you have others? What else do you have? I still have a few more, so I can continue.
Oh, I can. I had worked so hard to narrow mine down. I'm trying to remember.
What open them up. We originally said top 10. We're throwing that out of the window. And you could probably wing it at this point. You've seen so much. I've still got some really good ones coming up too, though.
Okay. But what about Rhodes in Day of the Dead? When he like is getting, do you remember? He's like getting ripped apart slowly again, ripped in half. I need to stop doing this.
What's wrong with you? You just love
this. I don't know. I guess it's like the creepiest thing to me. It's just you see the whole body just go. That gets me every time because I had Wrong Turn 2 the beginning on here, which was another axed in half.
Like, that's right.
I guess if you put a chopping in half scene, then I'm gonna give you like 4 stars. that's my jam. But anyway, he's like getting ripped apart, and they take his legs, and he's like, choke on him, like defiant to the end. And I don't know, it's just he's badass, and that's a great scene.
He died with his boots on, even though his legs weren't connected.
Yes! Wow, that is a good line.
That's good. That was quick, too. Yeah.
Good job.
There's one I have in mind that I know you love, but I'll save it in case you forget it. My next one is the ending of one of my favorite movies, but don't ever, ever talk about the remake to me. I'm talking about the original Wicker Man. If you haven't seen the original Wicker Man, you got to check it out, because it is one of the creepiest movies you've ever seen. Actually, the only movie I've ever seen that kind of has the same vibe to it is Midsommar, which is also very cool. But you have to watch the whole thing. If you're one of those people that wants to just see kills and, you know, all these other things quickly, don't watch these movies. If you like movies that slowly unravel into this ridiculous, crazy ending sequence, Wicker Man is for you. And the original Wicker Man, starring Edward Woodward, who I believe was the Equalizer later on in life, if you guys watched 80s TV shows. The whole concept is he goes to a pagan island to try and find a murderer. And he ends up becoming the sacrifice for this whole pagan culture. And they literally burn him in a Wicker Man, which is a giant man made of wicker. Not just a catchy name. But the tone of the movie is so creepy. And you're watching this. Midsommar's like this too, where you watch it, you go, this is freaking me out. And it just builds this insane ending where he's burned alive as a sacrifice to keep the crops coming by this pagan culture. Very, very creepy and very monumental, influencing it. It burns into your brain.
True. And it has a great Christopher Lee. So if you haven't seen it.
It does. That's right. Have you seen Midsommar?
I have. It's not my thing.
You don't like the slow-moving movies.
I don't. Really hard for me to get through those.
There is a crazy scene in Midsommar, too, though, where you get to a certain age, you have to. Well, there's a bunch of crazy scenes. There's the blood angel wings, and there's a lot of stuff. But when you get to a certain age in this pagan culture, you basically have to kill yourself. And you do that in a giant ceremony where you jump off like this, I don't know, 60-foot rock. And you hit the ground and you're dead. Problem is, this one guy hits the ground and he's still alive and he's just screaming and screaming. Remember?
Yeah. Go ahead and finish that.
And they're mimicking his screams and like mocking this guy, and he's just like, ah. And they finally take a big, like, kind of sledgehammer and smash his head. But like, it's very, very creepy stuff. All right. So
that reminds me of one that was like an honorable mention to me, but it's so new I can't trust it yet. But when the mob is chasing after the guy that they think is Michael Myers, you know, in the new Halloween Kills, and he falls out the window, like they're coming after him, so he commits suicide and he splatters and he's still twitching on the ground. That's really because you feel really, really bad for him, and it's really gruesome. So that's kind of like, is that going to be a super classic death one day? I think so.
But it just happens. No, I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard about this.
You haven't seen Halloween Kills yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'm sorry.
I read about it. I read about it, and I've heard about that scene. Let me ask you this. I know you didn't like, what was the last one called? Halloween?
2018, I guess. Like the one before this?
Yeah, it was just called Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. But we call it 2018 because otherwise it gets confusing.
Yeah, because there's two Halloweens. You can't do that.
Right. And Rob Zombies.
That one doesn't count in the canon that they're dealing with.
I know, right? But if you just say Halloween, it's like, which one?
Right, exactly. Okay, so we're just dealing with Halloween from 2018. So you didn't like that one that much. What do you think of this one?
I like this one better than the other one. I didn't like some of the choices they made in the first one, and this one's just more fun with more like action kills, more gore. So even if I don't like the storyline as much, you know, like I don't like the like that they're just paying attention to the first Halloween and not the whole rest. But like I don't like that at all, so I can just put that aside in this one and just say, oh, this is just a fun gore fest. Plus, I like the references that they made to at least the first one, and they made the nod to Halloween 3, which is cool. So the fact that they acknowledged the other one kind of made me happy. So
I know they're kind of bringing back relatives of people that died or even people that had survived the characters.
Right. They brought back the two little kids that were being babysat.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And the nurse, and just it's them remembering all the stuff is just, I appreciate that.
I think I'm going to check that out this weekend. So it's good to know.
For sure.
And a cool little segue is that those movies were both co-written by Danny McBride.
I know. How weird is that?
Very weird. That's very cool. Very cool. Okay, so I'm going to go back to one that we said before, Lucio Fulci's Zombie 2, or just Zombie, and that's Zombie with an I.
I knew you were going to do this one. Go ahead.
We watched this. Yep. A lady is being attacked inside the house by the zombies on an island, and the zombie grabs the back of her head and slowly pulls it to a splintered door that the zombie has busted through,
mm-hmm.
right towards the eye. And you're like, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. And it just slowly pierces the eyeball. And I still remember, I probably saw this one too when I was, I don't know, 13 or 14 years old. And once again, the chick is actually, she's a hot chick that you've seen her boobs earlier too. Isn't she the one, she's scuba diving in the nude earlier?
I think so, right?
Yeah. And she ends up getting her eye just completely gouged out by this.
Like so slowly.
It's terrible. It's terrifying.
It's so hard to watch. It's so slow. Oh, damn you, Fulci.
And it's such good effects as well.
That was on my list too. That was really
good. Was it? Mm-hmm. All right. You're next.
Okay. I'm going to go with. So when we mentioned Hostel, I meant to mention Hostel 2. Did I? I can't remember.
No, you haven't talked about it yet.
Okay. So in Hostel 2, the bloodbath scene is just unforgettable. It's like so erotic, shall we say, but also creepy as shit, because like that chick's just upside down dying, but yet this other chick's like rubbing blood all over her body. It's like, I do not know how to feel about this scene. So it's gruesome as heck, but memorable as heck.
You just love people getting held upside down and dying.
Oh no, again.
And basically what the scene is, there's this famous countess from, I believe, like the 15th century or something. Her name was Countess Bathory. And she believed she would stay young by bathing in the blood of virgins, young women, et cetera, et cetera. So in Hostel, they string up this chick. And they, I think it's actually some chick that was in some TV show or something or other, wasn't it? Like,
she was in Welcome to the Dollhouse and then Roseanne for a while, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So they string her upside down. Same thing as Catherine Corcoran, naked, boobs hanging all over the place. And they slice her throat, and the throat gets sliced right into the bathtub where Bath, or whoever the fuck she is, the Countess Bathory wannabe, just bathing in this blood. Very terrifying.
It's so creepy. Hostel's so good for that, though.
Yeah.
And another one where basically any death I would accept. And basically anything in the Saw series and Final Destination. Honestly, we could do this forever.
I know. Well, it's funny because, okay, Saw, there's so many. Actually, the newest one, Spiral, has a great one where I think we have to.
The first one?
No, the Spiral. The one in the subway?
Yes, the first kill.
And what does she have to do? Does she have to, like, cut her own tongue off to survive?
Yeah, I think it's. I think it was a guy, but
I mean, I don't, dude, I could you do that? I mean, could you, like I said, cut your own tongue off or die?
I always think about that with these things. I think I would fail every time. I don't think I could.
Like, if I can't talk, what the hell use am I anyways? Gives a shit.
I could live without talking. I'd be fine.
So that was my Saw death that sticks out for me. Which one for you?
Which one? Honestly, I had thought really hard, but now that I know we have more than one, but when I had narrowed it down to just one, I think they call it the angel wing death from three, the detective, where she's like strapped into like a harness with hooks, I guess. and she has to reach in to get the keys out of acid. So she has to burn her hands, and she does it. And she has the keys, and she's getting ready to unlock it. And then she realizes that it had been rigged, where she could have never won in the first place, because it wasn't Jigsaw. It was Amanda.
I don't like it, though. You should be able to win.
Yeah, that's her point. That's Jigsaw's point, is that they should be able to win. And Amanda was like, nah, I just want these people to die. So anyway, she got in trouble for that. But anyway, so she couldn't do it. She couldn't get out. And it just ripped. Dang. Ripped apart again.
I just keep going back to these.
It's Kane Hodder. I still believe I've murdered more people on film than any actor in history. So I think I got that going for me. And I have many favorite kills. But top of the line, top of the heap of favorite kills is the very top is a kill from the first Hatchet movie where I play Victor Crowley and I grab a woman by her head and rip her head apart by her jaw, rip the top of her head off and her lower jaw stays there. Classic kill. Sleeping bag kill in part 7, and it's another favorite because it's not a weapon. Anybody can kill with a weapon. Then Frozen Head in Jason X, liquid nitrogen, freeze a woman's head and then smash it on the counter. Pretty creative. And then, of course, punching the guy's head off on the top of the building in Jason Takes Manhattan. So those are the ones that come to mind first. But I think you know that I really love killing people on film. And maybe too much. I don't know. But anyway, that's my answer. And if you don't like it, well, I'll kill you.
We've got a few left here. And there's another franchise that we need to talk about. The Final Destination series. Classic deaths and very intricate, and just, I really just love the creativity, shall we say, of these movies. So is there any that stand out to you from the Final Destination series, Darcy?
This is another one I had to ponder for a really long time.
Right.
And what I've decided, I'm going to go with Final Destination 2 with the plane of glass, where the little guy is trying to like save people and like chase the birds away. He thinks that's going to cause problems. And then the glass comes down on him and just splats. Splat. That's the best way to explain it. It's so brutal. It's so fast. And yeah, that's the one that gets me the most. But there's so many in this, like the gymnast in part 5.
Oh my gosh, that was mine. I had that written down. It says Final Destination Gymnast. Explain. This one is terrible. If you get off this plane, just go hide. She goes and she's a famous gymnast. She's doing this amazing routine, and of course she does it. And as she's swinging, the screws are slowly becoming unscrewed because you can't cheat death. And she goes and like the thing breaks, and she's going into a triple Lindy, and dude, she lands right on her face, but the rest of her body just goes over top of her. And just like crunches like the worst pretzel ever.
Oh, and you hear that crunch too. Like it's just, it's so.
And this little spurt of like gore in there. Oh, awful stuff. And you can think names. So there's another one where something happens where, I don't remember, a car comes off the track and hits a guy, but then he goes into a chain link fence and like he turns into a cube.
Oh yeah. I think that's too. Oh, it's so good. There's so many. And of course there's like the log one where it's just this big chain of highway and Final Destination is so good. And just the premise of it to begin with, like, I don't know about you, but I always feel like it's like, oh, if you just take the wrong flight, something could, like, it changes. You know what I mean? Like, one little thing could affect your whole fate, and it kind of preys on that. And every time I hear them say Final Destination on a flight, I'm like, we should ban that, because all I can think of is we saw the premonition of the fireball, and it's like, I don't want to go on a plane now.
The log one is crazy, because how many times are you driving on the highway or something, you see that freaking log truck and you're like, okay, I am not staying in this lane.
Never. It's like, how does that not just what happens all the time? It seems so logical.
There's so many stories too. Where's the other one where the guy dropped his ring down the we call them garburators in Canada, the garbage disposal. He sticks his hand down, he gets it out, something happens, he climbs at the window, he goes on the fire escape, and he finally escapes, and he falls, and the fire escape comes and goes right through his eye. It's like really well done stuff.
I know, because you just keep waiting for it. It's like, oh, that's it, and then he's fine. It's like, oh, this is it, and then it's like, and then finally it happens. It's kind of worth the payoff. You're like, oh,
yeah,
that's brutal.
one last franchise, shall we speak, to talk about just some very, very gruesome inventive deaths is the House of a Thousand Corpses series. And awesome. I think so many crazy parts in that. And to me, the one that stands out the most is when Rainn Wilson, who of course is Dwight on The Office, somehow they turn him into a fish boy.
Yes. It's so random.
So random. And then also to Chris Hardwick getting his hair ripped out. That movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, to this day is still one of the creepiest movies to me. Because if you compare this to a wrestling match, the bad guys get the heat at the beginning, then the bad guys get the heat in the middle, then the bad guys get the heat at the end, then the bad guys win. And that's basically the entire movie. So disgusting. And so depressing on so many different levels in so many different ways. Darcy, no, you have...
Though. You can't help liking them. They're like a fun, crazy family you want to hang out with.
Well, they become more likable, if you can say that. Oh my gosh, in Devil's
Rejects. I know. So bad. Right? They're horrible. They're such bad people in Devil's Rejects.
Like, terrible. So
but why do we like them? Is there something wrong? Okay, now is when we ask, is there something wrong with us?
Well, but I'll tell you what.
They're awful in that, that's for sure.
I've said this a lot. It's a lot harder to make people hate you than it is to make them love you. But then once they start hating you, it's hard to keep them hating you because the best bad guys are always end up being more interesting than the good guys. And if you look at Darth Vader or if you look at Hannibal Lecter or the Terminator – they're always good guys in the second movie, much like the Devil's Rejects. The second movie, they're like much more likable than the idiots that they're killing.
That honestly makes so much sense. Again, we need to have like a philosophy class on horror. You have really good philosophies that make really good sense to me.
Is there anything from those two, those two movies that stands out for you?
I mean, that's definitely the one for me. I just love them as a whole. There's not one particular death that I think is. There's some that are hard to watch. I don't know.
I got another hard one to watch. Devil's Rejects. They kidnap the country western band. They basically kill the leader by cutting his face off. And then they stick the face of the husband onto the face of his wife.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. That's terrible.
When we start liking them, though, that's why we have problems.
And the poor lady's trying to escape, and she runs right into a truck. And
I know. Oh, why?
Jeez, that's so cruel. We got time for one more. I got one more. And I, if you don't have one off the top of your head, I have one.
No, I have plenty.
All right, well. I have two more.
Okay.
So pick your best two.
My best two. See, this is one that's very personal, so I didn't know if I should add it because it's not, I think most people think it's tame, but it's just it's possibly my favorite death of all time. So I have to.
It's what you like. Yeah, of course.
So, Hello Mary Lou, Prom Night 2.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's really for you.
The greatest kill ever because she's just slowly Vicky, the possessed woman, I guess is how you would describe it. She's walking around naked, slowly stalking her prey, I guess, in the locker room. And
the female locker room in high school.
Yeah. And they're just running around. There's this whole like chasing that's very interesting. But then she gets in the locker and you're like, oh, she can't get you in there, of course. But then all of a sudden, she sings her little song, a wop bop, loo wop, a wop bam, boom. And the lockers squish together and just blood comes like just everywhere flying out. And I'm just, the first time I saw it, I was like, I never saw that coming. That is fucking amazing. And it's so graphic because she just walks out like nothing happened. And there's these little trails of blood coming from the locker. And you just know that chick is no more.
That's a movie that you turned me on to. Because I always thought like Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2, like, eh, whatever. And I checked it out and it's really good. And that, yeah, that death is crazy because she's in a locker, like you said, wop, wop, loop, wop, bam, boom. And the locker squished together. And this, the best word I can use is the squelch of blood kind of spurts out of this locker. Just like if you, I don't know, took a jelly donut and just clapped it with your hand and whatever the jelly would spurt out to, that's what it looked like.
That is so accurate. Yes, it looks like a jelly donut swish that was like bubbles, I guess. It's like frosty.
Yes.
I don't know. It's so creepy.
Yeah, very, very, it's a very memorable one. My second last one is Cabin in the Woods, which if you haven't seen it, is a great movie and it's not what you're expecting. It's not a typical slasher movie where, you know, there's a killer in the woods. It's basically this whole thing kind of Cthulhu and, you know, all of this type of stuff of how they're trying to save the world from these evil forces. And finally, the kids penetrate the underground fortress of these computer technicians that have all of these evil monsters in cages, basically, glass cages. And it's everything. Like, it's really crazy, strange, you know, awesome characters in there. And they go and hide. And then they push the purge button. And what the purge button does is it releases all of these, you know, Sumerian evil creatures out at the same time, who then just murder in terrible ways of all the kind of the guards that are down there. This little nightmare. And there's giant spiders, there's giant snakes, and there's demonic ghosts, and there's crazy scorpions, and evil clowns, like you name it. They all get released. They just destroy this whole battalion of soldiers until the one guy who is obsessed with a merman ends up getting killed by the merman, which is great. And as the merman's coming towards me, he goes, "Are you f-ing kidding me?"
Oh my god, that seems so just so good. And just, I feel like you find somebody new every time.
Yeah, you have to really watch it a bunch because there's so many creatures. Anything you can think of, wolfmen, vampires, I don't know, whatever. Anything you can think of is in there, and it's very, very well done. So if you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods, I would go check that out. All right, Doris, what's your last one you got?
Okay, I can't decide because I feel like we need a good headshot. Like that, we've neglected that, and there's so many of those. So, Maniac or Scanners. But if I can only have one, do I mention Ghost Ship, where they have that opening scene where, but see, then I look crazy again because it's like when everybody gets cut apart. It's like literally they're dancing on the ship. Oh, this might bring back bad memories for you or make you scared for next time. But they're on their cruise, and the line just gets cut and just slices through every single person on the ship except the little girl. And
what?
you see them slowly fall apart, kind of like Final Destination 2, I guess, where you just slowly all come apart, and it's so crazy. And it's
all a cable hits them, or what happens?
Yeah, like a cable just goes and slices through everyone.
Oh, wow!
Yeah,
it goes right through all of them.
It's really, really graphic and gross and cool. So is that more important or the headshot?
Well, we said that one, so give us the headshot as well.
Well, I would say Maniac, the original with Tom Savini, where his head goes, and he did his own effects, so that's extra points for that. But then you have like Deadly Friend with the basketball headshot where the head goes splatter. And what was another good head? There's so many. Oh, Scanners, when the head goes.
That just explodes.
So, yeah. So it's like which category and then which head splatter is the best after that. There's just endless options.
Well, I don't know if you, I think we just, do you ever watch American Horror Story?
I haven't watched it as much in a while, but I used to be like really, really into it.
Okay, so the new season, it's kind of a double, it's called Double Feature. And the first half deals with kind of vampires. Second half deals with an alien invasion. And the aliens kill humans by just waving their hands and their head explodes. So there are great head explosions throughout that whole story arc there.
You're trying to pull me back in.
Yes, it's too good. You got to watch it. It's great.
All right.
I'm going to end this off with it's not my favorite death, but it's the original creepy, awkward, controversial death. And I just watched it beforehand just to see if it holds up, and it does. Talking with the original Frankenstein.
Ooh.
Boris Karloff, Squarehead, the whole thing. So he goes down to the lake's edge, and this is when he escapes. And there's a little girl. And I can't remember if she was blind or not. Yeah, she's blind. She can't see him. And she's throwing daisies into a lake. And so she gives him daisies to throw in the lake. She throws one. He throws one. He's super excited. He's like, she throws one. He throws one. She throws one, and she's out a lot of daisies. So he picks up the little girl. This is in 1932 or whatever it was. And throws the little girl in the lake who can't swim. And they don't show her drowning, but you hear her drowning.
And I think you see little bubbles.
It's yes. So and that's what leads the townspeople to go after him with the fire and the pitchforks, kill the monster. Watching it to this day.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah, almost 100 years later. I mean, 90 years later. It still holds up as a really kind of like, you feel bad for the little girl, but you also feel bad for the monster. Because he was just trying to play and thought the girl was a daisy or whatever. And that's what leads to his demise.
It didn't take me a while to come to terms with what exactly he thought. I guess he just thought water fun. Here you go.
I guess. I don't know. But bottom line is, great, great show here. I expect this to be a big hit. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was fun.
We could probably do a part two of this next year because there's so many.
We could do a part million of those.
I know. There are so many great examples, but you're the annual Halloween tradition here on Talk of Jericho, Darcy. So we now have to think of what we're going to do next year now to top this one and top the last one. So thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween. Say the shamrock.
Perfect.
Don't leave now. We haven't made you for dinner yet.